Arizona News Radio. Hispanic activists outside the Maricopa County Recorder's Office, they're concerned the provisional ballots they cast yesterday haven't been counted yet.
The provisionals and early ballots are not done by congressional district or legislative district or anything else. They are all mixed together.
A number of close races, including three congressional districts in the state, are still undecided. Travelers to the East Coast should check with their airlines.
Due to severe weather projected for the East Coast this week, some airlines may cancel flights, and we are encouraging travelers to check their flight status with their airlines before coming to the airport.
Mojave County Sheriff's deputies arrest a couple who bound and gagged a 50-year-old man.
The victim reported that he was gagged while his hands and legs were tied after he was struck in the head with an expandable baton.
Scottsdale police investigate the shooting deaths of a couple found in their home.
What we believe at this point is that this is all contained within the home. We're not actively searching for suspects.
George Tatter, Arizona News.
This check of your KVNX traffic, a service of the 99 cent only store. 4 o'clock hour, gang. Look for a wreck northbound State Route 51 at McDowell. Also, we have an accident on the Beeline Highway near Sunflower. Also, a couple of collisions, 16th Street at Camelback, as well as 27th Avenue at McDowell. Are you ready for Thanksgiving festivities? Stop by 99 cent only stores to make a memorable feast. Pick up turkey gravy and mashed potatoes for only 99.99 cents each. Here is your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. We start our cool down tomorrow with upper 80s and very windy at times around the state. And then Friday only mid-70s as that cold air rushes in. Saturday, low 60s. We will see some scattered desert showers. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently we're at 89 degrees here in Midtown. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds and you're up to date.
And here you are, ladies, today's dessert special.
Jen, do you smell that? Smells like rotten eggs.
Could it be a gas leak? We need to call Southwest Gas.
Southwest Gas?
They add a rotten egg odorant to their gas, so you know right away if there's a leak.
Excuse me, ladies, but you need to leave the restaurant. We might have a gas leak.
Hey, what about my dessert?
You'll have to save those calories for later.
If you ever smell the rotten egg odor, call Southwest Gas and 911 any time of the day. Your safety is our priority at Southwest Gas.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, and this is a pop quiz. Does sitting on your wallet feel like sitting on a lopsided booster seat? No? Well, it should. See, Farmers agents can help you stuff your wallet by combining auto and home policies so you can walk tall, sit crooked, and hopefully find a decent chiropractor.
If you want answers about saving money, you want a Farmers agent. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
To speak with a Farmers agent in your community, call 888-96-FARMERS.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
Welcome to Legalese, and welcome to Chet's Weekly Fraud here, in which he tells the audience that Dennis Willinchek is on the show, and in fact, Jack Willinchek is on the show. Dennis got tied up in court, but I'm very proud to be talking to you, our faithful listening audience, on a big day here after some big elections. And I know a lot of them are still kind of unresolved, but not surprisingly, that's what we'll be talking about for today's show. We've got in studio here Byron Schlomack, who's with the Goldwater Institute. Welcome to the show, Byron.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And on the phone, we're joined by Glenn Hammer, who's the president and CEO of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce. Glenn, glad to have you on the show.
Great to be on the show. Thank you.
So let's get started here. You know, I was saying to Byron before the show started, I think we'll finally explain to the audience what a lot of these propositions meant that they probably didn't even bother to vote on. I know I didn't bother to vote on a lot of these because I frankly didn't understand what they were. So toward the
it's too late now, really, to talk about it.
And now it's kind of a moot point.
I could explain, but I'm not sure how much, unless we can get in a time machine. But
exactly.
I think the good news is on the, you know, to me, I don't know if Byron feels the same way. You know, for us, really, sort of the biggest one on the ballot was 204.
204 is the one most people probably recognize.
Oh, come on, Glenn. You know how I feel.
I think you guys are probably in agreement.
I know you're still crying about the results of it, Byron.
Well,
I'm kidding, obviously.
You can ask. I am dressed completely in black today.
In mourning?
I am in mourning, for Mitt Romney, for my country. But as far as 204 is concerned, I'm celebrating just like Glenn.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a lot we still need to do in the area of education reform, and I just want to say that the Goldwater Institute has just done a fantastic job in really advancing the cause in Arizona. In fact,
just so the audience understands, 204, we're talking about that sales tax hike.
The one cent per dollar sales tax hike. $1 billion permanent increase to our sales tax would have left us with the second highest sales tax burden in the country without any sort of education reform. It's basically just a pure $1 billion until the end of time permanent tax increase. And it was heavy on taxes, very, very light on reform, and voters did the right thing by striking it down.
Yeah, that was why that was the main point that a lot of people arguing against the proposition made, was that it wasn't tied into any kind of reform, that it wasn't tied into any actual improvement in the schools. It was just a blanket tax and a blanket payoff to the education system.
And we need to give major kudos to Treasurer Doug Ducey for stepping up and leading the charge. This thing didn't just by itself combust. I mean, when Treasurer Ducey got on the case, every poll had this going passing by a landslide. I mean, it was almost, I think a lot of people thought the treasurer was taking on a fool's errand. Somehow he completely, through a very effective campaign strategy, very crisp and honest and accurate messaging, completely flipped this. He got the mainstream business community opposed. We had thought leaders like the Goldwater Institute putting good information out there about what this would mean. You had a number of prominent mayors and council people from across the state get engaged. I mean, it was really it was like a Gulf War type coalition against this.
I know my eyes kind of opened up was when I heard that you know, Craig Barrett in particular and a lot of other people who were in support of funding education came out against this, because they were saying, just like we're saying now, and clearly the voters felt, it was just it was a blanket amount of money going to the education system. There was no incentive anywhere for the schools to actually improve their performance.
And Dr. Barrett coming out against it, I mean, he's as thoughtful a voice on education reform as we have in this country, in my view. And before Dr. Barrett, our former state superintendent of public instruction, Jaime Malera, came out with a very thoughtful piece in The Republic outlining the case against this permanent sales tax increase. And a lot of those points were really the became the messaging points for chambers and other groups from around the state. So, you know, a very, very well executed campaign, and you know, we're looking forward to the next chapter and working with groups like the Goldwater Institute on meaningful education reform.
Yeah, I take it, Byron, that the Goldwater Institute fully agrees with what Glenn's
been
saying.
Oh, completely. And I don't know. Glenn may agree with me or not, but we didn't just dodge a bullet on this one. We dodged a howitzer shell, all right? This wasn't just about the fact that we're dumping money into a system without reforming it. It's also the fact that it would have basically blocked any kind of fundamental tax reform in the future, which, quite frankly, this state needs,
right,
with our changing industrial base and everything, which is going on across the United States. And so this was a major, major victory for the state of Arizona economically. It would have been a disaster, in my opinion.
Byron, great point. And again, contrast that with what just happened in California, where they passed another major – the people passed another major tax increase. So, you know, on that front, a very, very good night for Arizonans.
Let's talk about some of the other propositions here that either passed or were defeated. A lot of these, I mean, I know that these just kind of went over my head when I, as a voter, sat down and took a look at the ballot and tried to decide what to vote for. But a lot of these have very specific and particular effects on businesses. We were just talking about off the air Proposition 116, which was a tax exemption, I believe, a property tax exemption for equipment and machinery up to about $2.4 million. And I know, Byron, you were saying that this particular proposition was defeated, but you're saying you wish it hadn't been.
Right. I wish we had passed it, because this is really about limiting taxation on business, encouraging more investment in the state. I know some people were concerned that, well, if we take business off, some business property off the tax rolls, well, that might increase residential property taxes. Look, do we want to be a bedroom community, a statewide bedroom community? I mean, that's sort of the question I'm asking. I don't know. I guess maybe in some ways this.
What do you mean exactly when you say bedroom community? I like the way it sounds, but.
Well, I mean, we tax residential property rate at almost half the level that we do business. And we have a business unfriendly tax environment in this state, even to this day. It's improved a lot over the last decade, but it's not where it's still not where it needs to be.
Yeah.
We support it. Byron did a very nice job of articulating the case for it. We agree. This would have been a very positive development, and we're going to have to look at it. I mean, we have done some things statutorily to increase the exemption. Businesses, particularly small businesses, absolutely hate the way we tax that type of property in that state, and we're going to all have to work together to figure out a way to do something more aggressive in this area.
You know, we've got a little less than a couple minutes here before we go to our break. Glenn, I know you're just going to be on here for the first break here, talking to Glenn Hammer, President and CEO of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce. Why don't you go ahead and let me know here if there's anything else that the Arizona Chamber of Commerce wants to get out as far as kudos to campaigns or propositions that they're glad to see were passed into law.
Well, we won. We're just thrilled that Jeff Flake will become Senator Flake. That was just a critically important race. And I'll tell you, I mean, even though there was, you know, in terms of nationally, there weren't really strong winds blowing in any particular direction. I think when you look at how things broke nationally, you know, for Congressman Flake to go through a very costly, difficult primary, and then a very difficult general against an accomplished individual, and to walk out with a solid 5+ point victory says a lot about Jeff Flake. And I expect, and also it must be, you know, that tie to the Goldwater Institute, you know, to have someone of his caliber represent us in the U.S. Senator. I know, having worked for Senator Kyle, that Congressman Flake understands the gigantic shoes he's about to occupy, and he's going to, I know, be an outstanding United States Senator.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. You know, we had Congressman Flake on the show about a year ago when he was just gearing up for this whole thing, and I was impressed with the fact that he knows what he's doing. I mean, he's been there for a long time in Congress. And he knows what he's doing. He's got the experience.
He reformed the place. It was, you know, you talk about fool's errands. Anyone 8 or so years ago would have said reforming the earmark process, impossible. Impossible. It would have been more likely for, you know, Jeff to become a Major League Baseball player. I mean, you just can't do that. It was part of this DNA of the whole system. And now one of the few areas probably Mitt Romney and Barack Obama were able to agree in during the campaign was that the past earmark system was a very bad one. So, you know, Jeff is a proven reformer with results, and particularly with the president winning a second term, it's going to be very important to have people of Jeff's intellectual capacity and ability in the United States Senate.
Somebody to balance that, to balance the president
out. It's a balance. It will be a balance.
All right,
he's
going to
be a star. He's going to be a national star, no doubt about it.
I want to thank you for coming on the show, Glenn. That's Glenn Hammer, President and CEO of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce. This is Jack Wilczek, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. It's Edward Woodson inviting you to tune in weekdays from 7 to 8 a.m. to the Edward Woodson Show with me, your host, Edward Woodson. We'll talk business, politics, and the things that really make you mad.
Listen to The Ed Woodson Show weekdays from 5 to 6 a.m. only on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
I'm Edward Woodson, and I'm so mad!
It's not hard to find ways to invest toward financial goals. The hard part is finding a strategy you can stick with, even during difficult markets or when distracted by new, trendy investments. I'm Charlie Lyko from Edward Jones, and I can help. You cannot control the economy, but you can control how you make investment decisions. having a time-tested strategy to help you plan for the expected, prepare for the unexpected, and position your portfolio for both. To learn more, call us at 480-491-6900. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Did you know that more than 65% of corporations on the New York Stock Exchange are using barter? In fact, more than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Think you know barter? Think again. With Premier Barter, the Valley's fastest growing and most business-friendly barter company, you can gain access to a network of more than 40,000 companies. Through Premier Barter, you can expand your customer base and generate barter dollars, which can be spent through hundreds of companies locally and thousands of companies nationwide. Almost anything you can think of, things you're currently buying for cash, can be acquired with barter. Visit www.premierbarter.com. It will be the best business decision you ever make. 602-470-8020. That's 602-470-8020. More than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Call Premier Barter today. That's 602-470-8020. PremierBarter.com.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Wilinchek. And not surprisingly, we're talking about election results today. We're talking about propositions that, frankly, we never understood, but I guess maybe should have passed, should not have passed. I don't know. We've got Byron Schlomach on the show here, who's from the Goldwater Institute and has a very solid background in everything financial and economical. And we're talking about some of these, again, as I've said several times now, what I found to be, frankly, very confusing propositions that were on the ballot. And
and you know, that last one, 116. Oh,
yeah, 116. All right. That was the one that we just talked about.
Right. Well, I like that, and I was sorry to see it go. I think it was probably worded a little too cleverly. I think it was worded to pass a legislature and not necessarily to pass an electorate.
Because most people, I mean, they're not going to research, you know, what these bills would actually do,
right,
or what these propositions actually do. They're
right,
just going by what's on the ballot there. Yeah, I know I just avoided voting on a lot of these because I had no idea what the actual effect would be. In fact, I had a friend of mine call me up about one of these propositions, that one that had to do with picking judges, and I said to him, you know what, frankly, we've talked about that on the show, and I still don't have a complete idea of what that proposition would do.
For me, the bottom line was that it weakened the Bar Association's power.
Yeah, it was supposed to increase the governor's power.
Yeah.
All right, we've got our guest on the phone here, Andy Tobin, the Speaker of the Arizona House. Andy, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you guys?
Doing great. You know, the whole show we've been talking about the election results, not surprisingly. And I'll go ahead and ask you, just what are your impressions of how things turned out, and what do you regret, and what are you pretty proud about?
Well, I regret we haven't had a change in the White House.
Yeah, I think we. Yeah. It goes unsaid.
I don't know if you heard before, Mr. Speaker, but I'm dressed in black today.
Well, good morning.
I feel your pain. I think that was the biggest loss. I think some of the biggest win, you may be able to say that, the redistricting committee chairwoman tried to do everything she possibly could to punch holes in the majority in the legislature. And we are at, we were at 40. That's 2/3. I think even Byron would agree that's a high water mark most anywhere. And, now we're sitting at 36 with the real chance at 38.
Yeah.
After the $2 million worth of punches we got from unions around the country, bashing Republicans in this state, we work really hard. I'm very proud of our members that went out and worked so hard, and I'm thankful to all those folks who opened up their wallets and funded these guys and gals for the right reasons. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, a lot of these congressional races are still too close to call.
Yeah.
We're just talking about the Cinema Vernon race, the Vernon Parker race that's still going on here.
Yeah,
and,
what's the latest number on that? I haven't been in the system yet.
You know, I will have to check here. I'll have to have our show researcher here, my producer Robert, check on that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's still too close to call, and it's probably going to be a few days before they've counted it all, and we have a final result here. You know, saying to Byron, in spite of Kyrsten Sinema's views on just about everything, I do appreciate the fact that she came on the show, and I do have a very slight bias toward any candidate that comes on our show, but...
Yeah.
In spite of that, I know that she's a little too extreme for a lot of people. I think she would be, I read, the first bisexual member of the U.S. Congress, period, if elected.
Really?
And, yeah, that's what I read. There has not been anybody else that was openly bisexual and a member of United States Congress. She'd be the first.
Well, I'm sure that makes her very proud. I don't know what to tell you. Good for her. It's a trophy shelf for everybody.
You know, if I remember right, Speaker Tobin, I think we had the two of you on the show a while back, and I know the two of you don't get along. At least you did on that show.
Me and Kirsten? I've never been on a show with Kirsten.
I think you were, way back when. I had the two of you on this program.
No, they're afraid to debate me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm too sarcastic for them is what they keep saying. But anyway, you know, here at the Capitol, we have some really good news. Listen, there's 12 new freshman faces here at the State House, 12. And, you know, right now between 36 and 38 members, that's a lot of new, fresh, young faces who are here for all the right reasons. And I know, and speaking directly to your audience, and I know everybody's saddened. I'm saddened over losing a president, too. I put a lot of time and effort. My family did, money. We all were trying to get Governor Romney over the finish line. But, you know, if you're going to quit, shame on you. I mean, we're in the best nation in the world. We're in the best state in this country. And I'm just sharing that I have no intention of giving up and turning our state now over to, you know, to a government-growing agenda coming out of Washington, D.C. You know, I'm still willing to fight the big fight if the folks out there will keep helping us. So my message today is, you know what? We don't win everything. We won Jeff Flake, which was huge. Remember, you know, they always put Arizona in this pink column. Byron, where does that come from?
I don't know. And, you know, the results just totally belie that. I mean, there is no way that that makes any sense. I think Arizona was won by Romney at a higher I'll have to check this, but I think at a higher spread than in Texas. So
yeah. So
holy cow.
Yeah, I don't know how they decide that we're not bright or dark red.
Right.
It is what it is. You know, so we like I was saying, there's a lot of town here. A lot of folks work very hard to get elect Senator Flake here this week, and my hat's off to him. We had our guys out walking street. I'm going to tell you that Representative Amanda Reeve, there are 35 or 40 volunteers over the weekend walking streets and Byron knows this too, and I know you understand. You're not just walking streets for yourself. When you're walking out and you're a good Republican, you're helping other people go to the polls who are going to vote for other Republicans. And, you know, it's one of those things that I've really emphasized here at the Capitol, that you want to get reelected. It's always good to have money. It's always good to have a good face with TV, despite the fact that most people don't know how I ever got elected.
Through radio, right?
Yeah. Love radio. But I think at the end of the day, we have the hardest working members who are out there pressing the flesh, shaking hands with people, talking about the issues. And, you know, Arizona just killed 204.
Yeah, we were just talking about that in the first segment.
Yeah, so we killed 204, and they elected a majority, not quite a super majority, but after redistricting, who could blame us? And you know, and here we are, ready once again to move forward to start paying down this debt. It's $1 million a day, you know, for our debt payment, $1 million a day. When folks start wanting to know, you know, where our priorities were, with whether it be education or something else, our problem is that our money's tied up in debt. So, you know, if I had $365 million that I could spend, you know, maybe that would be a place in the education system for improving education and hiring, you know, real teachers who are really committed to these kids. And so we continue to invest in some education. We put $40 million into K-3 education here this year, and this Pro 204 was telling everybody we're not putting money in it. So it was just absurd. They were just wrong. It was written poorly. Even amongst themselves, these spenders could not find a way to not overreach, and that's what they did in that initiative. And even their friends started saying, "That's even way too much for me," and it was, you know. Where would we go if that had passed forever? Ever, we're going to have that tax. In the event there was ever a crisis again, or in the event some municipality needed to do some kind of an infrastructure bond or something, how would they ever really have enough expanded room in their sales tax base to go forward with that? So there's a lot of reasons that was bad, and so that was a good thing that happened last night. It was a good thing with Jeff Flake, a good thing with 204 going down, a good thing we have majorities and not insignificant here at the Capitol. I think those are important things. We swept statewide seats. We have all the corporation commission seats
That's
now.
That's right, yeah.
So, quite frankly, you know, I would love to see us take as many of those congressional seats as we can just to send a more clear message.
Yeah, to give you an update, I see here that Kyrsten Sinema still has a slight lead over Vernon Parker in the contest for Congressional District 9. The results remain too close to call. With potentially thousands of early and provisional ballots still uncounted, a process that could take days. Sinema's lead right now is at only around 2,000 votes. That's pretty tight. It's about as tight as it gets.
That's pretty tight. You're talking to a guy who won his first election by 42 votes. I'll tell you what, tight's 42 votes. When somebody gets back, well, you know what? You know what? Amanda Reeves in the 20s.
Wow.
She is trying to catch up to a seat that we really want in Central Phoenix, and she's only behind Dr. Meyer by 28 or 25 votes, something like that. So it's trending our way. Also, yep. Representative Vogt down in Tucson, this is the guy who carries tort reform for Arizonans. That's who this is, who's at great risk down there. He is now only upside down, less than 300 votes is what my last number was, and he keeps trending in our direction. So I haven't given up on them, and I certainly won't give up on Vernon Parker. I'm happy to work with him.
All right, speaking of getting tight, we're getting pretty tight to the break here, close to the break. I want to thank Speaker Andy Tobin from the Arizona House for coming on the show. Thanks so much, Speaker Tobin. And
bye, Byron.
Bye-bye. Take care.
We'll be right back after the break. Jack Wilenchek, Legalese Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
NBC News Radio, I'm Paige Hopkins. A day after the election, concern over the fiscal cliff sent Wall Street into a nosedive. The Dow lost 312 points. Investors fear Congress cannot avoid deep budget cuts and higher taxes scheduled to kick in the first of the year unless there is a compromise. CNBC's Rick Santelli.
Till these talks are peppered with some from the House, some from the Senate, some from the White House, all out in the open till we see that kind of discussion, that kind of roll up your sleeves working together, it wouldn't surprise me that the market isn't going to necessarily have big movement.
A nor'easter is bearing down on the eastern seaboard. Forecasters say it will affect many of the same areas hit hard by last week's big storm. It won't have Sandy's power, but it will hamper recovery with strong wind and heavy rain. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Avoid driving tonight. Clear roofs, balconies, yards, and outdoor spaces of anything that can be blown around. If you encounter any power lines that have been brought down, do not go near them.
This is NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio, Democrat and former Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick declared the winner in the state's first congressional district over Jonathan Payton. Republican Martha McSally with a slight lead still over incumbent Democrat Ron Barber in CD2.
The enthusiasm we saw even at the polls yesterday, and we see through where we are right now with the lead that we had last night and today, we feel really good.
In the new 9th district, Democrat Kyrsten Sinema and Republican Vernon Parker still in a tight battle. 40-year-old man hauling a hot air balloon in a trailer in Phoenix hospitalized with burns after an explosion.
You've got a big hot air balloon. You've got a big wicker basket. So you can see how this fire grew very quickly.
A child playing with a lighter near a mattress triggered a fire that destroyed a Tucson apartment.
They're ever under about 7 years of age. They're just curious about it.
And a man found guilty twice of a double homicide gets out due to a plea bargain.
Jury's found him guilty twice. If we had the evidence, if we had the shells, and the gun, we would have gone forward.
George Tedder, Arizona News.
This check of York Avenex traffic, once again a service of the 99 cent only store. We still have that wreck on the Beeline Highway near Sunflower. Also look for an accident 32nd Street at Greenway. We have a collision 7th Street just north of I-10, and another wreck Estrella Parkway just south of Interstate 10. Are you ready for Thanksgiving festivities? Stop by 99 cent only stores to make a memorable feast. Pick up turkey gravy and mashed potatoes for only 99.99 cents each. Here is your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. We start our cool down tomorrow with upper 80s and very windy at times around the state. And then Friday only mid-70s as that cold air rushes in. Saturday, low 60s. We will see some scattered desert showers. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we are at 90 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chad Reynolds, and you're up to date.
I love you, son. So it hurts when you say I hate you. I'm your mother. I'm tired of you disrespecting me when you don't get your way. I work hard to make sure you have everything you need. I should be able to ask you to get out of bed in the morning without a fight. So from now on, things are going to be different. I ordered the Total Transformation Program. We're not going to scream and fight anymore. I'm going to tell you what to do in a different way, and you're going to do it. You're not going to call me ugly names anymore, and if you do, you're going to get consequences that'll keep you from calling me ugly names. We're not going to do things your way anymore, son. We're going to do things the Total Transformation way.
Get the Total Transformation free. Just order the program, tell us how it works for you, and you can keep it for free. Call 1-800-241-1419. 1-800-241-1419. Call now. 1-800-241-1419. 1-800-241-1419.
Hi, folks. Greg Schulte here for Legends Cadillac in North Scottsdale. As you all know by now, my favorite baseball saying is, you can touch them all, especially when it's our favorite hometown team. Well, at your favorite hometown team, Legends Cadillac, you can also touch them all. Get behind the wheel of that sporty CTS coupe. Experience the luxury and performance of a truly great car. Check out the outstanding lease program available right now and see for yourself how affordable that Cadillac really is. Not to be outdone is the world's most popular luxury crossover, the SRX. Four different option packages specifically designed for every driver's wants and needs. And rounding third, the Cadillac Escalade. Legends has the best selection in the Western region with factory incentives and great leasing options on every model. Everyone loves the first place team, and Legends of North Scottsdale is doing it right. Legends, it's like no place else.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Wolinchek, and we're talking about election results today, propositions that maybe should have passed or nobody understood to begin with. And let's get back on that. I mean, I know I've got Byron Schlomach on the show here, who's an economist from the Goldwater Institute and knows his stuff. And we're talking about there are a couple other propositions, too, that I know had some kind of economic impact. And
right.
It seems like they're definitely something that, you know, you guys would probably take a position on, but... Like I say, I mean, I just looked at these and I thought, well, I have no idea what this is about. I'm not even going to vote on it.
Right. Well, we did take a position on a winning proposition, and that was 117. We took a position on 204. We've already talked about that, and we're against it, and it lost, and that's a good thing. But 117 was the one that put the 5% assessed value limit on property for property tax purposes. And it applies to all property, both residential and business, and it applies to our primary rate as well as, and it, which is a new thing for us, our secondary rate. The primary rate, which is the main rate that funds maintenance and operations of schools and counties and that sort of thing.
I'm with you.
that had a limit on it where the assessed value couldn't go up more than 10% per year.
Okay.
But the secondary rate, which includes bond issues and special districts, which were growing like mad because that was a way to avoid the limit
on
the primary side.
There was no
that
limit
had
there.
Not been limited.
Okay,
and now it is limited, and both of them are limited at 5% and not the 10%.
Yeah. So bottom line, it's a much needed limit on taxes.
It is, and it also helps prevent budgets growing with these property bubbles.
Right.
And so hopefully that'll help control government size, and we won't have to go through these painful budget reductions that we had during the recession.
Did you guys have any kind of position on, because there are a couple others here that I know I kind of glossed over it.
Mm-hmm.
It had to do with state trust land and the state trust land endowment, and there were two of them here, 118 and 119.
We did not take a position on either of those.
Just like me.
Well, as an institute, we didn't. Yeah. I certainly had my own position, and both of those have mildly economic results to them. 118, for example, had to do with how the permanent fund, when you sell state trust land, the proceeds go into a fund, and only the proceeds, the investment proceeds from that fund, can be spent in the schools or whatever else it's dedicated to.
Right.
And what this said was, okay, we just had a recession. There was no rate of return from these funds, and that meant the schools got nothing from them. And it said, look, we need to guarantee the schools at least 2.5%. And then during the fat years, we'll reduce the amount of money that goes to the schools. That's what that was really saying, so that you don't completely cut off the schools. I was actually in favor of it. I voted for it, but it lost, and it was close. And you can be kind of ambivalent about that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I read it. I didn't even know what to think. So I'm sure most voters felt the same way.
Right. It was confusing. Again, something that's really is more appropriate for the legislature to handle, but it involves the Constitution. They had to go to the voters.
Oh, that's right. And I know there was another one too that involved the Constitution, amendment to the Constitution. It was that one that had to do with making it so that victims of a crime couldn't be sued by the person who committed the crime. And I thought the commentary on that was kind of interesting because, you know, frankly, this is kind of a non-issue. You know, even the people who supported that constitutional amendment said, you know, we can't even think of a case where this was an issue, where there was actually a person who committed a felony and he was suing the victim.
Right.
You know, so personally, I mean, as a lawyer, I feel it's a very dangerous thing to legislate where there's not a problem. You know, like Sandra Day O'Connor said about this recent judicial proposition, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, you know, you're just probably creating additional problems down the line when this issue actually does come up, in my opinion. But, you know, it's just one of those propositions where it's kind of like it seems like a good thing, so may as well let it through.
Right. You know? I think in defense of it, and again, the Institute in this case didn't take a position, and we have several attorneys on staff, and I didn't even poll them to see how they voted. I bet I'd probably get a split decision. But
you're probably as confused about it, yeah, right. as I was, most people but, are.
My issue, and again, this comes back to my economic background a little bit, is about the law providing certainty for people. And the issue of, if you're going to have a stable economy that grows, one of the most important things to creating that type of economy is having certainty in the law. Mm. And the problem is that you hear about these cases from other states. What you're saying is that nothing like this happened in Arizona, but things like this have happened in other states. And so.
Yeah, it's always a hypothetical possibility.
Right, exactly. So that's the only defense I really have of it.
Yeah. You know, the other big one we haven't talked about so far on the show, we'll probably get into it a little bit in this segment and the next, is this Proposition 121 that would have overhauled the current system for electing candidates. It would have. Gotten rid of the primary system, and replaced it with a system where all the candidates appear in a single election ballot. I know the parties came out against this, just because really the single effect of this, or the biggest effect of this, would be to reduce their power. I mean, in a lot of ways, you wouldn't even need parties if that kind of proposition got passed, which it didn't. It failed by a 2-1 margin. But
that's true. This is a very California-esque. Reform. California did this, in fact.
Yeah.
And what you had in one county, as I understand, I believe it was a county-level election, was it was an overwhelmingly Democrat county.
Right.
But in cases like that, usually you have a lot of Democrat candidates and only a few Republican candidates.
Right. I see where this is going.
Well, what happened was the Republicans got the plurality of the votes.
Split
and so you
vote.
Ended
yeah.
up with, at the general election, two Republicans on the ballot. And so it
has some
it
kind
is
of wacky
not,
results.
Yeah. Right. The idea is, well, this will be a better representation of us. And there's just not the evidence that that's.
In reality, that's not the way it works out.
Right.
Yeah. One of the other big criticisms of this was that it would ruin whatever power that a lot of the, you know, independent kind of parties, Green Party, have right now. I mean, at least to get on the ballot, you know, right, by collecting a certain number of signatures.
You know, these close races that you're looking at, if you look at the votes, the reason the Republicans, more than likely, the reason the Republicans haven't won outright is because of Libertarians.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that's assuming that most of the Libertarians would have gone to the Republican.
Right.
And that might be a stretch. Some of those Libertarians might have voted for the Democrat, but you don't know exactly what would have happened there. But yeah, odds are, especially in the Parker Sinema race,
mm-hmm,
odds are if the Libertarian hadn't been on the ballot, Parker would have already won.
The race is just so diverse to begin with. I mean, you've got that district is covering, you know, from Paradise Valley to Sunny Slope, you know, to Tempe. I mean, Harry Mitchell and David Schweikert's whole district. I don't know, you know, I couldn't even begin to predict, you know, what the result of that would be. But we got a little bit less than 2 minutes here before we go to the break. On this two-party thing, I mean, you know, one of the funny things I saw written about this is that, you know, even if the independent parties, even though this would have ruined the power of independent parties, I mean, they really don't have that much power to begin with in a lot of ways. But
no, they don't. In fact, the Republican Party in this state, I Republicans run on the basis, and I think Democrats both identify themselves on an ideological basis. I think the Democrat Party probably hangs together a little bit better, but the state party is not well organized. It's every man for himself when it comes to their individual elections. And so I completely agree with that statement. Look, it's where is it that their parties are having this gigantic influence in and of themselves?
Right. So, kind of a moot point in a sad way.
Yeah, it really is, in fact.
All right. We're talking about election results, propositions, all that good stuff. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking to Tom Jenny from Americans for Prosperity. This is Jack Wilinchek on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Business owners. In this economy, some consider it an accomplishment to merely survive. Well, it's time to move from surviving to thriving. If there's an easy way to tell exactly which of your marketing dollars are getting a return, and an easy way for you to see exactly how your salespeople are performing, would it seem too good to be true? Visualize how your company would look if your advertising becomes twice as effective because you're not wasting money on marketing that doesn't work. Add the sales rep tracking, and now you're in a position to thrive. We believe in making life easier for business owners. Use By the Numbers, the tracking software for sales and marketing. It's easy to set up, easy to use, and very affordable. No contracts required, no extra programming necessary. Call 480-652-9212 to schedule a free online demonstration today. That's 480-652-9212. Mention our anniversary for a special bonus. Again, call By the Numbers at 480-652-9212, 480-652-9212, or visit us online at getbythenumbers.com. GetByTheNumbers.com and start thriving today. Adjusted for Life Wellness Center is your one-stop health destination. We empower our patients to see health and wellness as a lifestyle rather than a quick fix. Adjusted for Life Wellness Center focuses on reversing chronic conditions. We are truly passionate about helping people live healthy lives. Take a good look in the mirror. If poor health is not allowing you to live life to the fullest, call us at 480-802-9977. That's 480-802-9977.
Hi, I'm Chris Codinas, licensed professional counselor and owner of AHA Counseling AZ. If you are looking for a counselor who is a real person who has been there and done that, and who has a sense of humor and is not afraid to use it, then I am the counselor for you. I'm eclectic in my approach, and I try to make counseling as fun as possible. To schedule an appointment, please give me a call at 480-772-2561. That's 480-772-2561. Hope to hear from you soon.
I'm hiding in Honduras.
Welcome back to the show. This is Jack Wilinchek in Legalese. And we've got in studio here Byron Schlomack from the Goldwire Institute. We've been talking about election results and propositions that passed, failed to pass, And we've got joining us on the line here Tom Jenny, who's with the Americans for Prosperity. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Hey, Jack. Hey, Byron.
Hey, Tom.
You know, let me ask you, Tom. Americans for Prosperity. You know, that's a conservative group. In fact, I think you used to be with the Goldwater Institute, right?
Oh, that's correct. We're a fiscally conservative group. Our motto is economic freedom in action.
So tell me, you know, we've been talking about some of the great successes for those of you out there who are fiscal conservatives. There's some good things that went down here in this election. The biggest good thing was the defeat of, you know, the 1 cent tax proposition. And let me ask you, Tommy, what else are you guys throwing a party about?
Well, let me tell you, I'm an eternal optimist, and as I see it, the glass is one quarter full.
Hey, Tom, I'm all dressed in black today myself.
I'm just going to try to focus on that one quarter full. It is fantastic that we beat Prop 204. It is fantastic that the people of Arizona rejected a regressive, terrible sales tax that was going to throw money at education in the hopes of improving it. And I'm really glad that people in Arizona rejected that.
Yeah, today's show is definitely a silver lining show. I mean, we can we can talk about that too. Of course, the Republicans and again, any of those out there in the listening audience who consider themselves to be conservatives are not very happy about the way the presidential election turned out. But there are a lot of good things to be happy about here. The what's going on in the legislature is could be better, but is still very encouraging.
Well, if you look at it, Andy Biggs, who is one of the absolute superstar conservatives of this Arizona legislature, Senator Andy Biggs from Gilbert, just today won election as the Senate president. Mm-hmm. And that is good news because he's a guy you really want in the driver's seat when it comes to trying to pass good legislation down at the Capitol. And the guy he replaced was not nearly as rock-ribbed as conservative as Senator Andy Biggs is. So that's another great victory, I think. It wasn't necessarily a November 6th thing. It was a November 7th thing, but we're happy in any case with that.
What about these propositions? I mean, we were talking about them all show, but are there any particular propositions that you guys were in heavy support of and threw a lot of effort behind getting passed or that did get passed or that you're disappointed did not get passed?
I think one of them that was interesting and a good case study is Proposition 116. By all rights, that thing should not have failed. There was no opposition there was no opposition in the legislature. There was no opposition in the ballot pamphlet. There was no opposition at all. And yet voters, when they got to the polls, they looked at that thing and they couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
And there wasn't enough information promoting it. And so they looked at it and said, gosh, I don't know really, I'm not really sure what in the world this thing is, and I'm voting no.
You know, I think that's absolutely what it is. I mean, I just refrained from voting for a lot of these because even I, you know, doing the show and trying to stay up on these things, don't feel like I'm sufficiently informed about what a lot of these propositions would do. And I know it's a shame, but, you know, because like you say, nobody even opposed this thing, but I think a lot of people just they're going to ever see or hear about these propositions is what they read there on the ballot. And unless that makes some crystal clear sense to them, you know, they're not going to vote for it. We were talking about some other propositions. I mean, this one about, how victims can't be sued by, perpetrators of a felony. I mean, stuff like that people will vote for pretty darn quick because, you know, who wouldn't?
Right.
But
right.
A lot of this stuff, it just kind of falls by the wayside.
Right. If it's at all complex, you'd better have, frankly, $1 million in the bank.
Yeah.
And that's not to get it on the ballot. That's once it's on the ballot, you need $1 million just to
get the word out
to enough people what in the world is going on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's kind of a tough thing. And, of course, there are these propositions which, I mean, you know, in all honesty, who knows what if they do anything. I'm thinking in particular of this Prop 120, which was this kind of symbolic proposition that would have amended the Arizona State Constitution to read, Arizona declares its sovereign and exclusive authority over the air, water, and public lands. You know, I mean, as a lawyer, I can tell you this is pretty obviously unconstitutional. Arizona doesn't have pure authority over the federal government and the federal government's lands. But
there's a lawyer over at the Goldwater
Institute. Would disagree with that?
It would argue with that. That's exactly right. We actually took the position of
this
being in favor of 120.
Did you? All right.
Look, if nothing else, you're making a statement. And look at the United States. And, Tom, I don't know if you agree with me on all this, but you got a line North Dakota to Texas, and east of that, nearly everything is privately owned. West of that, tons and tons of federal land. These are lands. Look, Ohio was once all federally owned. The federal government relinquished control of that in various ways, mostly by selling it. They should have done the same thing with the western states. Why are we the second class citizens?
Because our birth year was in the progressive era.
That's exactly right.
That's the problem. Yeah, and that's absolutely right. And I think Byron and Jack, you'd probably agree that if you read the Constitution very plainly, Prop 120 should be a no-brainer. But in the modern world, in the world run by progressive judges up at the federal level, it would be very, very hard to have that thing have any teeth in it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's true. That's absolutely true. But it was about getting something started. And Utah, we have a movement in Utah toward the same direction. And in a couple of other western states, obviously California isn't going to join in, but
I never do.
Well, not in anything like this, not in anything good.
No, I did hear that Utah had this on their ballot too. I don't know if it passed up there. I haven't seen that, but you know, let me ask Tom Jenny here from Americans for Prosperity. Did you guys take a position on this top two ballot? You know, the proposition that would have done away with having our current primary system, which of course was defeated and pretty handily. It was defeated 2-1. But did you guys have a position on that?
No, not officially. We stick pretty clearly to the economic issues, and that one really just didn't. That was a very important issue, and I'm really glad it went down. And I know Goldwater took a stand on that because it is a constitutional issue, but it's just something that was outside of our purview of what we do.
Yeah, sure. So, well, tell me, what else did you guys get involved with that you're happy to see, you know, got passed, or that kind of disappointed to see failed?
Well, I think the really interesting one was Proposition 117. It was a case where I think at the margin it's going to do some good in terms of holding down property valuations and in turn holding down property tax increases. But a lot of people in the conservative grassroots were really fired up against this thing because they want radical property tax reform. They want to do something big about the property tax system. And they felt that Prop 117 was not up to snuff. So they felt that it was basically a case of the perfect or the better or the way better being the enemy of the okay or the good. And I think a lot of conservatives were against 117, and I sympathize with them. We were officially in favor of it. We think at the margin it will help a little bit.
Yeah, we're talking about that earlier on the show. There's Proposition 117 would have... It passed. Proposition 117 puts the cap on property taxes, which, as we were talking about before...
Well, on assessment values.
On assessment values, I'm sorry. As we were talking about before, there's no pre-existing tax there. And, you know, if the bottom result of anything is to cut taxes, you know, it's hard to complain about it too hard. So it's hard to argue that's not a good proposition that went into law there.
Yeah, I think the conservatives were some of the conservatives were unhappy, and Lynn Weaver, who's a great activist, who's fought hard for Proposition 113. I think people like Lynn were concerned that maybe this is going to take the wind out of the sails of radical property tax reform.
Right, and the other argument is: look, when it comes to property taxes, you have two sides. You have to calculate them. You have the assessment value, and then you have the rate. And the argument is, well, you can hold assessment values down, but you can just increase the rate. And my argument is rates are more transparent. It's easier to hold officials accountable for that.
All right, we got a little bit less than 2 minutes before the close of the show here. Yeah, as we've been talking about for the whole show, there's a lot of disappointments for those of you out there who are conservative Republicans, but there's some heartwarming news, too, in the results yesterday. And, of course, we're still waiting for a lot of the results. The Sinema-Parker race is too close to call. I think McSally is leading Barber down in Tucson, but again, to my knowledge, that's too close to call. And lest we forget, there's actually another race, too. Anna Kirkpatrick has a slight lead, I think, over Jonathan Patton up in CD1, up in the northeast of the state there. But, yeah, I think a lot of ways, I mean, it's I don't know if there's anything that was too unpredictable about this election. I don't know if you guys were surprised by the results in any way.
I was surprised that the president took Florida.
Yeah. Surprised about just a little thing there.
Yeah.
I wasn't super surprised, but I am really happy again about Andy Biggs winning that Senate presidency.
That's a big deal.
Down at the legislature. That's big.
Biggs is big. Yeah.
He may be the ticket to stopping Obamacare insurance exchange here in Arizona.
Good. And on that silver lining, then we'll close out the show. All right. I want to thank my guests, Byron Shlomak from the Goldwater Institute and Tom Jenny from Americans for Prosperity. This is Jack Wilinchek on Legalese Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Survival Cave Food, your best choice for tasty beef, chicken, turkey, and pork. Like many preppers, I have an assortment of food stored up, including beans, honey, and wheat, along with some dehydrated items. Well, thanks to Survival Cave Food, now you can add tasty, quality, real meat to your food storage plan. Survival Cave Food meats boasts a 15-year shelf life when stored at room temperature, but the best feature is its amazing home-cooked taste. Go to theprepperpatch.com to order Survival Cave Food meats and add quality, real meat solutions to your long-term food storage plan.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard, aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Neil Bortz, weekdays 10 a.m. to noon.